The podcast you are listening to of Holmberg's Morning Sickness is brought to you by my friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet mesquite. Repeat. Trust me on this one. You've had barbecue before, but you haven't had it this good. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale, ericsfamilybbq.com.
There's only one Eric's Family Barbecue location in Arizona. That's right, just one. It's in Avondale, and it's worth the drive over and over again. Barbecue restaurants that have several locations usually cut their quality for expansion. Not Eric's Family Barbecue. Eric serves Texas-style barbecue that never disappoints, always delicious, never rushed, and prepared to perfection. Now, we know brisket is king, but have you tried their pulled pork with coleslaw? It's a match made in heaven. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet mesquite, repeat. Go to ericsfamilybbq.com for more information.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
The old method of treatment for a person in this condition was to throw him in jail.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Tuesday. It is the Morning Sickness. My name's John. There's Brady. There's Brett. Big Dick Toledo. We're ready to go on yet another glorious day here. Although, we did lose some an American icon, for crying out loud. I mean, that's a big one.
Uh-oh.
Is he standing
off? I think he's in the hallway. He's ready.
I guess I'll save it for him. All right, there he is. Jimmy Fallon, everybody.
Oh, my God. Guys, I can't believe what you said. Jimmy Fallon here from the Tonight Show, from That's My Jam, from Jimmy Fallon's Password.
You a little hungover?
I'm totally hungover. I was drinking all night. Steve Kime and I were out drinking last night. I'm in Arizona. I got to find Steve. He's my guy.
You're messing with that.
Oh, my God. When the stars of cheers start dying, I know I'm old. Like liver spot. After liver spot popped up on my body last night. Kirstie Alley died last night. Oh, my God. She died. Nobody even knew she was sick. I love Kirstie Alley so much. I love Kirstie Alley so much. I would be her cake. I would have let her have me. I love Kirstie Alley the way Kirstie Alley loves cake. And that's a lot of love. Oh, my God. Tomorrow, I'll come in and report that the rest of Kirstie Alley has died.
You loved her as a baby mammoth in season 7 of The Masked Singer?
Of course I did. She was baby mammoth. I watched that episode. She's amazing.
You cried.
I cried a little bit. Everybody cried. Nobody knew she was sick. We all thought she was just going to explode. Kirstie Alley, everybody. Rebecca Howe of Cheers. It's dead. 71. Okay. Tonight Show. Tonight. Blake Shelton promotes his new show, which is basically the same thing as my show. It's just games at home. Barmageddon. Pretty great. You have Gwen Stefani. You have Harry Styles. And we're going to bring Olivia Wilde out. He doesn't know that yet. It's going to be amazing.
Wow.
They broke up. It's
huge.
Gonna be really cool. Kind of like a Jerry Springer, Jimmy Fallon moment. Marissa Vian Senior's coming on. She's going to do voices. I'm going to laugh hysterically. And Dolly Parton. All tonight on The Tonight Show. And then Password. I'm actually going to manage to play Password against myself. I'm going to try to give myself clues. And I'm so frantic that by the time I give myself a clue, me as contestant will have forgotten what the word was anyway. So it's going to be great if I can try to guess my own clues to the word that I don't remember. All right.
That's going to be tough.
It's going to be hard.
See you, Jimmy.
It's going to be pretty hilarious first thing in the morning. Oh, my God. You have Chinese eyes. Okay, bye.
Jimmy Fallon announcing the misery.
It's too early for that.
In the happiest way that we've lost Kirstie Alley. But who would have ever guessed Kirstie Alley would have outlived Shelley Long on that show? Remember, Shelley Long tried to cut her own. She opened up her veins in her bathroom a few years ago, tried to kill herself. And there's Shelley Long clicking, and everybody else is still there. And you start looking at that. That's the scary thing. As people in this demographic, you know, from Brady's age on down to, I guess even my dad, that was one of his favorite shows too. So you start getting into 70s down to like late 30s. Cheers was just America. And then you see John Ratzenberger, and George went now. You haven't seen him in a while.
No.
Oh. The Cheers cast is elderly. I mean, Ted Danson's on all the time.
A little long in the tooth.
But Ted's that some bitch that went from, you know, handsome young man to incredibly good-looking middle-aged man to guy who silvers foxed it and looks great. I don't know if that's his hair, because he was bald. But he's always been. He just looks great. He's old. He looks old, but he looks fantastic, classy, silver old. The rest of that cast, not so much. Actually, Carla looks the same because she looked like crap back when she was 35. But Kelsey Grammer, all of them. It's crazy to see. And Kelsey's the one we've probably seen the most recent. So it doesn't surprise us as much to have seen his progression. But it's an old bunch.
We were talking about it before we were on the air. I couldn't believe she was 71.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, wow, no way.
Yeah, she came up. What did she show up to Cheers in like 88?
87, 88, yeah. Something like that.
35 years.
I know.
Man.
And the first word Sam Malone uttered to Rebecca Howe as she wandered into the bar was, "Bua," which is my favorite thing. And he saw her. She walked in. He looked at her. "Bua." And they just went to commercial because she was a smoke show.
Right.
She had Kathleen. Oh, yes. Everything about her. Like, she was built. She had, she had those, because she was in that Star Trek movie before, and she had those piercing eyes. And she was, you know, she had that Kathleen Turner syndrome. Something happened to our hot girls of the 80s, where the 90s decided to be the decade of cake.
Yeah, they find the cake.
Balloon. But that's sad, because she was a very funny person. So Kirstie Alley passed away. And John Travolta was the one that broke the news before TMZ. He tweeted it out before anyone else.
Oh, my God, I can't believe what's going on. Here, world, guess what? Another woman I'm around is no longer with us.
Like, John Travolta is getting rid of some ladies fast.
Her final Instagram post was back in September. She announced that she was joining Cameo.
Oh, so you could get some birthday wishes out of
her.
I did happen to watch her on Masked Singer. I did. I saw. I don't know why, but I'm, because I was mad at it. Like, the voice that was the... But again, they were guessing. I think it's the Meghan Markle. I'm like, she's not going to be on the goddamn Masked Singer. The princess is not coming on your stupid show. I even thought Kirstie Alley was too big.
How many times do they go after the royal figures? A lot.
Oh, it's Prince Harry. Prince Harry's in. Like, no, he's not. It's at best guess, you might get Fred Armisen. That's a pretty good get for your stupid show. And then, like, Ryan Reynolds was on it.
He was?
Yeah. And you're like, oh, for Christ's sake. He's
There's
ruining
big time.
He's making it so they can guess these crazy names. I mean, I saw Shatner in there. What's going to happen on that Masked Singer? They keep getting these old people. William Shatner's 90. You can't stuff him in an avocado and have him running around singing. When he took that mask off, he was about 5 minutes away from losing William Shatner. Like, the sweat, the bright red. I mean, he's always beat red. I mean, he was tomato red. And you're like, you're going to kill somebody. And I didn't know Kirstie Alley was very sick, but the episode she was that baby hippo thing.
Baby mammoth.
Whatever it was. Oh, it's so annoying because they kept chanting baby mammoth.
Baby mammoth, baby mammoth.
I hate that show, and I watch it because I hate it. I can't stand it. I don't understand.
Is it Kim Jong-un?
Yeah.
That's got to be Obama. That's Obama.
I've heard that before. I'm like,
of course. And then the other person will guess, like, I think it might be Anna Gasteyer. They're like, okay, nobody's watching. And it's show for kids, my ass. Nobody knows who those people are.
Ryan Reynolds, was he in, like, a bottle of Aviator gin?
Yeah, well, he did promote the gin, which was pretty solid. He was there for promotional reasons. The other day they had they uncrowned the champion. I don't even know who the person was. It was some former American Idol, like season 9 or something, and she's on to TV shows. I'm like, And then have you ever watched it? Take it off. Nick Cannon just hovers his hands around instead of just taking it off, like, just take the goddamn hat off. Nobody's that excited to find out that underneath there is, you know, Logan Paul's assistant. Nobody cares.
Influencer of an influencer.
Right, yeah.
It's Logan Paul's accountant, Jeff Feinstein.
Nobody cares who's under the
mask. Whoa.
Jeff Feinstein. I just stood and watched him sing Rocket Man. Come on. Anyway, so Kirstie Alley's gone. That was a weird one. It's been a while since I've been like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was, and 71 did kind of catch me too. I would have guessed low to mid 60s max. But that's it. We talked about lightning strikes yesterday. Brady ruined it with a pun, and then we couldn't talk about it anymore. This guy, I'm sure, he's quick to fire off the email, because this is what we said when you get hit by lightning. What's your you got a story? So I got struck by lightning July 17th, 1997, living in the asshole of Arizona, Tucson. I would have been standing outside in every storm with golf clubs and big, like, I was wrapped in tinfoil, metal hanging off my head if I lived in Tucson. On the job site, talking to my wife, standing under a saguaro, telling her it's a monsoon and it's coming in over the Catalinas. The phone has the antenna. Please shut up, I said to her, and let me get off this phone. I don't like being out. Boom, got hit. I'm telling her I got to go. Hit the saguaro. One of the fingerling bolts hit me on the left side, traveled through my spleen, pancreas, liver, down my right leg, and out my foot. Blew every blood vessel in my foot out. My liver was damaged. It cooked my spleen, and the pancreas got deep fried. I died. I stopped breathing. Heart AFib. One of the homeowners who just got home and saw what was going on was a cardiologist. F me. Thank God for the cardiologist. He got me going again. I spent 5 days in the ICU. I have some issues, but for the most part, I am still here, and I wanted to share. How about that? He goes, then talk about bad luck, getting struck twice. Gabby was talking at the Safeway I was pulling in with my son for extra credit when we heard the bam, bam, bam. Like, dude,
jeez.
He said, Tucson can go F itself. Have a great show. I'll be listening. Jim, you stay far away from me. I would invite you to the beer release tomorrow, Jim Santoro. But no, if you're around, I'm running. You are bad mojo.
Typical broad, though, screwing things up. He was trying to get off the phone, and what happens? Right. She's rambling on.
You have to listen when I tell you, so you stay out of that rain.
I'm trying to stay out of the rain. Will you shut up so I can go in?
Why aren't you walking in? Where are you? You're fooling with me.
Cooked.
Jim.
Cooked.
See, I got the guy who's got that going on. Also, I don't know if you guys watched the game last night. I watched the Suns get trounced by the Mavericks. I had no interest in the Buccaneers and Saints at all.
The one thing I did notice on that game is the Eli and Peyton. Maybe it's been it's a been couple a weeks. So much better now.
Did they clean it up?
I think they actually have the equipment. They're doing live feeds from each other's
Oh, good.
Homes.
So they can hear.
And then their guests, everything's, it's not walking over each other.
Oh, it's
much.
The worst. And the delays. Yeah. I couldn't watch the Manning cast. It drove me nuts. It was 16-3 when I turned it on. A couple minutes left. I'm like, garbage game. I didn't watch. Tom Brady goes magic. Two touchdowns in the last 2 minutes. And I mean magic. Actually, three touchdowns in the last 2 minutes. Threw one touchdown and it got called back for a hold. The dude was Tom Brady again for a couple minutes last night. And it made me kind of realize, as much as I hate him, I'm going to miss him. Because I tuned in at 16-3 thinking, well, it's Tom Brady. If anybody can do this. And they were in the middle of a drive getting and they put the first one on. And I'm like, I don't know. 3 minutes left. Exactly 3 minutes left. It's 16-10. Tall order. And then I realized the Saints quarterback is Andy Dalton. Like, oh, the Buccaneers are going to win this game. There went Andy.
Man, that's just
the fastest three and out you'll ever watch in your life. And then Tom Brady had 2 minutes and 40 seconds to get him. And he did it. They didn't even call timeouts. They were just methodically walking down the field and eating time. And poor Andy Dalton stood on the sideline and just was Andy Dalton.
And the last guest on the Manning cast was Dana White, who's a super TB12 diehard. And he's like, yeah, we got time. You wait. Yeah,
he was right. It was
Tom's going to do magic. And they kept on giving him a hard time. And like, all right. And I had no idea that Dana White packaged Gronk and Brady, how close that was to going to the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. He was trying to get him over in Vegas. Yeah. There's a couple of things that he's almost done. He's done some stuff. But, yeah, then Tom Brady runs off the field with on ESPN with a gigantic let's effing go. Two of them. Two bombs. And I got to admire Scott Van Pelt because he goes, all right, couple TFGs from the GOAT before we go to break. Like, he didn't ignore it like most people would have been afraid.
Yeah.
Scott Van Pelt's like, there they were. Nothing you can do about it. That was great. Those are those sports moments where these old heroes limp out onto the field and you're like, all right, old man, give it one more try. And you see it. And my biggest fear now is, and I don't think it can happen, but it can happen. As cruddy as the Buccaneers have been, they're going to win that division. And if Tom Brady has one more magic moment in him, it would be to run the table in the playoffs with that crap Buccaneer team. And it's his offense.
And that's the last thing you want to see is these kind of wins where all of a sudden that
it doesn't. Yeah, they start getting that
mystique happens.
That life. Well, that's what I'm saying. They could go in at 8-9, 9-8, average team. Everybody dismisses them. The way the NFC is
going. Never rule them out.
The NFC right now is the Seahawks and 49ers. Niners are going to be in trouble without a quarterback, so the Seahawks probably win that division. The Buccaneers, go figure. The Vikings, which I still don't trust. And then the NFC East, which is the best in the business. You got Dallas and Philly and probably the Giants, but Washington's scary. But that's the thing where if one team knocks off Philly and the next deal you got Dallas and I trust Tom Brady to get through that thing. And then he wins his eighth one and walks out.
I'm actually pulling for him.
I never thought
I would say that in my life.
But. Reddit hurts so much to say, but I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, you know what? In a season I don't have a team, my guys are just
Playing tough for, year. He's been having a tough year.
Playing for next year. Yeah. He's got his divorce, which may or may not be a real divorce. The more I'm reading about that, might be a tax shelter because of the FTX thing, because they can't get them both. They can't do the, like, there's a
separate whole, it now.
There's a ton of money that they can't go after divorced. Somehow or another, their divorce protects them from getting crushed by the crypto thing over at FTX.
That's his deal, not hers.
Well, there's that. There, it keeps a lot of shelters in place and a lot of it puts umbrellas over a lot of stuff. And then, you know, who gets divorced and then buys a house next door to Kanye West and Kim?
Kids.
Crazy people do. Yeah. So people up to something do that. And yeah, I'll just buy a house next door to you. You've got like 10 houses already. You don't need. Yeah, but I got to. There may be more to this than we know. But Tom's had a. If it is all legit, Tom's had a rough year. He's an old fella. I hate him. I hate Tom Brady. He's done damage to every team in the league. He's devastated the AFC. And there I am last night going, you know what? Go get him, old fella. And I'm kind of rooting for him.
Yeah, I hate him less now that he's not a Patriot. And then I got to listen to Patriots fans run their mouth.
Right.
That nasty-ass
accent.
And that's
the
accent.
Fun thing is that, yeah, that the nasty Patriot fan still runs their mouth. I'm like, cheering for the Buccaneers now? Oh, no. Pats all day, but Tommy. I'm like, no, you can't have it both ways.
DB12.
You can't want your ex-wife and still love your current wife. You can't do that. Tommy. It doesn't matter that it's Tommy. But it's Tommy. You can't let go.
Just it's one trouble. More time, Gronk.
Yeah.
Suit up.
Yeah, you're beaten off to your ex. Right in front of your wife. Mac Jones can see you. Super fan. And this is why we didn't like Patriots fans to begin with. We knew you didn't like the team. You had secret gay hard-ons for your adorable quarterback and his weird wizard coach. Yeah, Patriot fan. That's what I hated. What I've discovered since the breakup of Belichick Brady, it wasn't those two I hate. It was the Patriot fan.
Oh, yeah.
They were the worst fans in sports.
I hate Red Sox fans, too.
Yeah, and that's same what thing. I'm like, yeah. How did I not tie that together? Of course I hate Patriots fans. They're Bostonians. You can lie and say you're from Foxborough. That's like Gilbert not being part of Phoenix.
It's a
triad. You're part of it.
Celts, yeah. Sox.
Celtic fans are just horrible people. Horrible people. In the most racist town in all of America.
Bruins.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe probably. But how I've never tied it together. Like it's the fan of the Patriots that I can't stand. It's not the Patriots. What do I care about Tom Brady being dominant? I didn't like him, and I thought, they're scandalous. They pull the wool. They're getting away with murder on this and that and that. And literally had a murder. And it wasn't them. It was their fans. They protect
Brady's,
everything.
Brady's expansion over the years has been huge. I mean, with the Patriots. Just like Steelers.
You
win so many championships. The fan base just grows nationally.
Huge.
So it just magnifies.
Well, you're on TV all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm rooting for Tom Brady. Oh, I never thought I'd say that. Since Deflategate, when they were asking for his phone, and I'm like, no, I'm going to side with Tom Brady on this one. And I never thought I'd say that. Now, all of a sudden, I'm sitting on the couch clapping for the guy going, go get him, kid. Like, I was happy for him last night. And he seems to just have become a different person down there. But it's me. He's not around all those Bostonians.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel uncomfortable around those half-druid cave people of Boston. How many colleges do they have there that no one's attended? My guess is there's four colleges, MIT, Boston College, Harvard. Yeah, you've got these amazing colleges. No one from Boston's ever gone to it. Like, no resident of Boston.
Everyone's lying, there's a scholarship.
No, yeah, a local scholarship to our friend Tommy. Yeah, they just give it to a guy. Because his name's Tom Brady, the average, but you're going to have it. And they put like one local kid a year. I guess wicked, wicked smart move to put me in Harvard. I swear. That's it. There's nobody from Boston. No one from Harvard has ever come out and said, graduate from Harvard. It's never happened. No one ever from Boston has gone to any of those great schools. None. Everybody from somewhere else has to go experience the lowlife peasantry of Boston. Again, I keep in mind in 1910, that city almost all died from a syrup flood. They were too stupid to run from it. Look at all this syrup. Yeah, you're going to die in it. You better start running. I'm stuck to the ground here. This is wicked no good. You're done. I'm drowning here.
It's wicked sticky.
It's sticky wicky. Idiots. Oh, I hate that. It is Patriot fan. I can tolerate. I mean, it was almost immediate. But I'm like, I can tolerate Tom Brady in Tampa. I hate Gronkowski because he looks like someone from Boston would look. Dumb. Loud.
I saved my money.
Somehow or another has made it across the street every day of his life without getting hit. Maybe. I don't know. But he's that Neanderthal Bostonian look. Even though he's not from there, he just looks like. He's just a dopey douche. Like who? Oh, yeah. Exactly.
The perfect example.
There's a reason why Boston is in Massachusetts and the rest of the nation's nickname for people from Massachusetts is masshole. There's a reason. So when you're trying, you're going to email me and defend it. No one likes you. All four of your sports teams are hated nationally because of you fans, Bostonians. Anyway, go Tommy. I would like to. I think it would be a magic Disney moment to have the Buccaneers come out of the NFC this year. It would be amazing.
NFL would love it.
Oh, and they might actually just show up to the game with their pants off, just to show everybody their beaten. Massive erections that they are going to trounce on television. It would be amazing. Even if he got just obliterated, it wouldn't matter. It's the NFC Championship game where his hands are on his head like, did this just happen? It's Disney. Can't have that kind of stuff. But anyway, it was pretty amazing to watch last night. He was Tom Brady. He just went magic down the field, and you're like, it's happening. You can almost sense it, too. Like, 16-3, they hadn't done a thing the whole game, and then this drive starts, and you're like, he's doing it again. Like, he's picked up that
wearing
weird,
him down.
He's picked up that weird thing he's got. And you can feel it coming out of your TV. Like he's
you can't ever count him out.
No. And you can feel it. Like when they got right around the 30-yard line, I'm like, he's going to do something here.
It ain't over.
And then all I thought was, it's up to their defense. And when I saw Big Red trot out there, I'm like, they're going to win the game. Andy Dalton is, I forgot Andy Dalton's the quarterback of the Saints. All I watched was the last two drives. And
you ain't running out the clock.
You ain't doing anything. With Opie Taylor, it is not happening.
You're on the sidelines right now talking to your defense. It's on you guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going back out there. Like, well, I think Andy's going to ice the game. Said no one ever. You guys will be, and it's going to be fast. Like, you get like one sip of water, you're going back. All right, it's already 3rd and 18. Andy's doing his job. You're going back out there. Sure enough, went back out there and Tom's wizardry also created the worst punt of the night for the Saints punt. It was magic. Sports, when they're magic, you can feel it. You can sense something special. There it was. So I'm rooting for Tom Brady. Blech. And I'm not the type of guy that says, I like when old guys do well. I hate it. It proves the league sucks. When Phil Mickelson won that Open a couple years ago, and I'm like, well, golf's in trouble.
Yeah.
You can't have 53, 54-year-old guys beating the 20-year-olds. That's not good for the sport. It's good for old dudes. Old dudes love that stuff because it makes them feel relevant still.
Are you rooting for Tom Brady or are you rooting against Boston?
A whole bunch of that, too. Because I want them to have to cheer for another team to win a Super Bowl. It's Tommy. I don't care. It's Tommy. I'm like, you're
good
rooting
for him.
Good. I'm glad you're a Bucs fan. And then you piss them off because they left Boston for a second, which is their true love. This tattered, rat-like, swamp, stink streets of Boston. It's great. You know why Cheers is the most popular show in the comedy in the history of television? And it's set in Boston. You know why it stayed like Americana? Because only one guy had a Boston accent in the entire show, and he was the most annoying person on the show. Cliff Clavin was the only Bostonian
thinking about it,
on the show. Carla was a
it
tough.
It made up for every other cast member.
Look, Carla was a tough Bostonian who sounded like she was from Brooklyn. Like that's
yeah,
they didn't have the if they had somebody from Boston, it was Clavin, and he was annoying. And then he would talk to other Bostonians. All the mailmen that came in to talk to Cliff were Bostonian, and they were all annoying, awful people. Hilarious, perfect, perfectly cast. Anyway,
Boston.
Let's get a wake up song, maybe for Kirstie, maybe for Tom, maybe for just you. You tell us what you want to hear next. That's what we do now. It's 585-9800. That's the number you call. Wake us up with something good and strong. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
Hey, it's not weird. It's pretty cool, actually. No membership fee.
I've heard enough of this.
You've been listening to Holmberg's Morning Sickness Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet!
mesquite, repeat. Eric's Family BBQ.com.